Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the sixth chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus is going, and especially in the gospel of Mark, we're more than a third of the way through. It's at this point he runs into a hiccup. He runs into people who should know him best, and it finds out they know him the least. And then he sends out his 12. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The gospel of our Lord. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. As people like to say, you know, as I like to point out to many, I have my best friend from high school who's known me for many, many, many years. Even though I've been doing this now for 21 years, still cannot put the words pastor and David in the same sentence without falling over laughing. Sometimes the people who know you best also have blinders. Case in point, my wife asked me the other day, because I was just sitting there quietly, and that's an oddity. She said, "You're quiet. What are you thinking about?" I'm like, "You know, we just had to do the shopping, right?" She's like, "Yeah." "Well, I think they should call the receipt that the cashier gives you a biography. And when you do the self-checkout, it's an autobiography." She's like, "Next time I won't ask." Words can be a lot of fun, too. I don't know how many of you realize this, but may we never need it. We have an automatic external defibrillator out in the narthex, in the gathering area. But I discovered one thing about my life. Defibrillators repulse me. And for those of you who struggle with these jokes, I get it. I think instead, with all the symbols that, you know, where they got quarters, with all the different state quarters and the parks and all that kind of stuff, I really think they should put jokes on pennies. That way people will have a sense of humor. Should I continue? No. And some of you are now thinking, "I'm right with your friend, Pastor Dave." Really? Didn't know this was open mic night at the comedy club, did you? It's kind of amazing how we kind of assume we understand things. We kind of know people. We know situations. We know places. We know how things ought to be. And anytime that does not happen, it's not surprising that we act a lot like the people who thought they knew Jesus. They took offense. What's the fastest way to drive someone insane? Change one thing in their house. One thing. Move a chair over just a little bit. They know how it's supposed to be. They know that there's something a little off. You know? Better yet, I'm a Star Wars fan, huge Star Wars fan. I have my Grogu socks on today, okay? Just the other day, The Acolyte, which is this new series that's playing on, they had a character in it that appeared in the prequel trilogy. And they're like, well, wait a minute. That means this guy is like 150 years old. And people were upset. And they were even more upset when the Wookiepedia updated its listing about this with the new information, and people are like, traitors! We know this guy can't be that old. We know it's fiction, people. Offend a fan base and you know wrath. Because you know how this is supposed to be. You know it. How dare reality be different? And it's amazing how our sense of what we believe, what we know to be true, can make it so we can't see anything but. That's the power of prejudice. Or what's now known as confirmation bias. I know this is how it works, so all examples to the contrary are written off, dismissed, or not even seen. You could have 100 examples brought to you. One looks like what you have a preconceived notion of, and you will ignore 99 for one. By the way, that's not the punchline of the parable of the lost sheep, when Jesus leaves the 99 to find the one. What do we miss? You know, people keep telling me, well, I'm not entirely sure God's really active anymore because I don't see miracles. Well, do you not see miracles? Do you not see awe? Do you not see wonder? Because it doesn't fit what you expect or what you already believe? Here's Jesus. And his neighbors were like, no. And if you think you're going to do something that's going to blow someone's socks off who doesn't believe, when Jesus couldn't, good luck. But more importantly for you, are you willing to suspend your knowing for trusting? I remember when I was in college studying to be a teacher, one of the comments that was made by one of my professors is, students enter school as question marks and they leave as periods. How many of us have done that? We know. And what do we miss? Where's our sense of wonder? Where's our sense of imagination? Where's our sense of belief that there is something more, something beyond, something that isn't just what you can understand, what you can accept, what you can do? I recently had someone tell me that they would not believe certain things, and they were talking about science stuff. They wouldn't believe it because they couldn't understand the math. So their limit of what they would accept, even in that, was limited by what they could mentally compute. I refer you back to the actual parable of the 100 sheep, where the one walks off and Jesus talks about the one, the good shepherd goes and chases down the one. When any shepherd listening to him goes, you're an idiot. You chase down one, you're going to come back and find 67. What's the value of the one? What's the value of you? What's the value of that other person? That possibility? That value is immeasurable. Why? Because heaven was given up for you. Jesus thought you were so important. This world was so important. Your relationships were so important. Makes no sense unless you're willing to accept the wonder of love. And those that loved Jesus as the world would couldn't accept Jesus because they knew Jesus. Maybe that's why he sent out his disciples in pairs. Sent them out. Maybe he was too big of a name, too big of a draw, too many people knew him. James, John, you're up. Andrew, Matthias, Thaddeus, yep, you. Yeah, you in the back. Yeah, you go. Take a buddy. But notice one thing about the instructions. We make a big deal about some of the instructions, and I realized something. He said, he ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts. Wear sandals, and not to put on two tunics. I think of social media, and what's what everyone talks about on social media? Look at this great meal I had. Look at this fashion, these clothes that I'm wearing. Look at this place where I'm going. Look at the stuff that I have. How often do we know people based on what they wear, their bank accounts, their travels, their food? That's how we know somebody. Jesus was known by his relationships, and not always in a helpful way, by those that thought they knew him best. But maybe just in general, we have to remind ourselves there's always something more. Question, this is an evaluation question. How many of you read the devotion that I did for Sunday, for today? How many of you know the word that I was using, that I was describing, that I was defining at the beginning of it? You needed to spend some time with it, didn't you? Some of you needed to open it up. It's always entertaining when people go, Pastor, we didn't know this was happening. Newsletter, bulletin, emails, signs. I was defining the word define. Go back and read it. Because how often we define, we know. And what it does is it shuts off. It doesn't give us a starting point. We speak of Jesus as the Word of God made flesh. If you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father, as Jesus would tell us. He was meant to be a way in which we could understand, not the totality of it all. He was meant to give us signs to point to the Father, not to limit what the Father was in our understanding. So may we not be defined by our social media. May we not be defined by our zip code. May we not be defined by our car or our job or our race, color, creed, ethnicity, or any gender or anything else. May we be known by what we do. May we be known by how we love. May we be known by how we share peace and hope, how we let light shine and not squash it, how we might dare to rise again with hope and not give in to fear, or worse yet, spread it. May we not be limited, but may we be truly set free for ourselves, for our neighbor, for the world. May we be set free. May we set them free in love and in hope, the gift that comes to us. And maybe you too will be one of them that goes out as two. Or maybe even by yourself. And be a sign of that love, that hope, that grace. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.